Okay, I have to say that I was a little bit surprised when Lucas asked me to be on panel again, because I don't know if y'all were here last time we had a panel. At the end, a couple people, and if it was one of you, I don't take this personally, that a couple of people said that they were a little scared and discouraged after we talked.
You're a scary person.
You're a little scary.
So if y'all were here, I just want to remind everyone that y'all just heard the beginning of this story, that somehow, you know, some of the ways that Paul and I reacted at our worst and not at our best, and even in the midst of all that mess, that God is with us and he's still working. And anyway, so I hope you're not be discouraged after today. All right, that's so before funny. We get started with the questions, let's just go around and say a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are besides just being a mom. And I'll start. My name is Lisa. I just met Rachel today. I have four kids. My oldest is 25, my youngest is 17 and still at home. And I, before, well, I'm not working now, but before I was not working. When I was working, there you go. I was a teacher and I did that for years and years. And then I was home with my kids for a while. And I worked also as a teacher before that. So that's me. Lucas said I was an artist.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great.
You are.
All right.
I'm Stephanie Daniels. We have five kids. Our oldest is 17 now and the youngest is 10 months. So we have a spread. Let's see, I'm a physician. I work just part-time though as a dermatologist. That's about it.
So I'm Trisha.
Yeah.
I'm Trisha. I have four kids. 21.
It didn't sound right. That's not okay.
It's easy to lose track and all the mess.
Boy, that's really old. 21, 19, almost 16, and 13. I mostly am with kids. So I worked in the inner city until basically we had our third kiddo. Bruce started a company about 9 years ago, and I do stuff with that. And that's who I am.
Trish is also an artist.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I'm Rachel Marcello. I'm on staff here at Grace. I'm the women's ministry director now. And I've got two kids, almost two and three and a half. And so I've got the young ones of the group.
All right.
I think that's it.
Yeah. That's great. How old is your oldest, did you say?
17. 17. 17. So it's 17. 14, 13, 4, and 10 months.
Okay. All right.
You're an overachiever.
You're busy. Busy, busy. All right, gals. What would you say is one thing that you wish you had known about yourself before you became a mom?
Do you want to be light or deep? Do you want to get heavy fast?
Oh, whatever. Okay. However you feel.
Okay, so the nice part is that how easy it is to love a child and be loved by a child, and how like miraculous and beautiful that is. Just to start on a nice, easy place. Should I get deep now?
Yeah, what is it that you wish you'd known about yourself?
Oh, about myself.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm on the point. Okay. I think it would have been helpful to know that I struggled with depression before. Okay. I would have been maybe better able and ready to help my children with their struggles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, I would, I think I didn't realize how much I cared about what other people thought of me.
Sure.
Until I had kids that were doing things I couldn't control. And then it was like, oh my gosh, I really am worried about this. And so I think I reacted sometimes in fear, where if I had a little bit better understanding of who I was and where I was getting identity from, that mm-hmm. I might have made some better choices as a mm-hmm. young mom.
Yeah.
That
makes sense. I thought I was pretty laid back about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of six kids. And so I'm the oldest girl, the second oldest kid. And so kid stuff didn't really faze me. But I don't think I realized that I wasn't as laid back as I thought I was on my own. And then it was reflective of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said. And so that I that resonates with me of realizing, like, yes, I thought I was laid back, but no, I really wasn't about all of these things that I couldn't control.
Exactly.
Like
and so. I'm a huge control freak.
Right.
Yeah.
It's bad. That's what about you, Beth?
Probably, I was pretty surprised about, they call it codependency, like how those tendencies, and I didn't even know about it, but just like you were saying, like, people always say, oh, you're okay depending on, you know, however your worst kid is doing or your best kid is doing, but that's just not true. Like, you're okay because of Jesus, and that's mm-hmm. it, and I have to, like, separate myself mm-hmm. and how easy it is to pick that up if someone's not doing well or they're doing yeah. great, but just mm-hmm. that it doesn't affect me as a mom or a person or just my identities in Christ, period. And I didn't really know that until I had kids, and I was like,
Yeah, that's good. And then what were some of the things that you did in response to that? Once you kind of learned some of these things about yourself, what did you do to kind of combat that or make a change?
I think something that was helpful for me is just realizing what actually matters and trying to prioritize, because at the end of the day, I mean, obviously, what kids eat matters. And I mean, I'm dealing with little problems, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I have little people. But safety matters and sleep matters and food matters. But at the end of the day, that will kind of all shake out. They're going to learn to eat vegetables at some point. Please. I hope that happens. But they will. And so if, no, they won't. They won't. Okay, well, they'll survive anyway in spite of the lack of vegetables.
It only took 17 years. They still have to eat vegetables.
She ate a salad.
That's there encouraging. Okay, see? So there's hope. But at the end of the day, that's not my job as a mom. Yes, I need to feed them nutritious food, but at the end of the day, what matters is that I teach them to love Christ. And mm-hmm. so that perspective, I think, has helped of saying, okay, you know what? You know, she may be wearing striped leggings and a swimsuit cover up and a firefighter hat to
awesome.
The store.
But that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter the way that other things do. And so I think that has helped of just having to constantly go back to that perspective of, okay, what actually matters in this situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, I thought that I was a relatively mature Christian at the time I was, you know, having children. And I guess I didn't really think so much about how much of a spiritual battle or a spiritual drain that having mm-hmm. being a mom would be, because you're just so focused on, you know, the tasks at hand, especially when they're little and the things that are going on. And so I sort of felt like for a while, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. If I don't spend time with the Lord, it's going to be okay, because, you know, I've got all these years of walking with him mm-hmm. and it's going to be fine. But I think one thing that I did learn is that you can't live on yesterday's spirituality, just yeah. like the manna in the wilderness. You have to do that every day. And so for me, I think a big change came when I decided that the most important thing I can do for my kids and for my husband, for my marriage, is to spend time in the Word every day. And that was something that helped me to sort of start to work through some of my own personal issues, but making that a priority. And so that was surprising to me. What were some of the things that were surprising to you about motherhood? I mean, for me, it was some of the spiritual drain.
I think that it's ever changing. Like, just when you figure out something and you think you have it under control and you're like, I got this. Mm-hmm. And then they change. It's just constant. And so I don't know. That's one thing. It was always shocking.
Yeah, as soon as you
just kind of hit a pace mm-hmm. and then they go and mess it up.
It teaches you to be flexible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It should teach us to be less controlling, but that's not really working for me so much.
Yeah, no.
Maybe eventually.
Yeah,
we'll get
eventually.
That.
Yeah.
It goes by mind-numbing fast.
It does go
by
fast.
It goes by really fast.
Mm-hmm. What is that saying? The days are long, but the years are short. I mean, the days can drag sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you guys find encouraging? What encourages you in your motherhood?
I don't want
to. Go for it. Go for it. You have notes. I don't.
I took notes because I can't do this little last minute thing. Okay, so there are moments of delight where you intimately connect with your child. And I didn't know how beautiful that would be. And then obviously also watching them like grow in their relationships, that's really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. And, Just encouraging seeing how God can work in them and not like get in his way.
Right.
Just kind of see how he's just raising them up, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's good to see, for me, it's good to see those things in spite of my parenting and my failings
exactly.
sometimes.
That's what I'm saying, like when I don't get in his way.
Yeah, exactly. That God is still at work, and sometimes even more so when I mess up, that mm-hmm. God can use some mm-hmm. of that to teach me about me and to teach my kids how to deal with life sometimes. Yeah.
So along those lines, something that encourages me is that I think there's a lot of pressure on all parents, but especially in moms, to get it right and to do it the right way. And it's almost as if we mess up, the kids are going to end up messed up, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are big mistakes that we can make that would have
sure.
major impacts on kids. But what's encouraging to me is that as a parent, we're not called to be perfect, and actually setting ourselves up as a perfect parent can turn our kids away from Christ. Right. And so what's encouraging to me is that sometimes like the and frustrating moments of parenting when because I have a 3.5-year-old, who, when we're just butting heads all day, that sometimes the moment of breakthrough is when I say, buddy, I'm really sorry I yelled at you. Mm-hmm. And it's when I can be humble enough to admit my mistake and he sees that I'm imperfect, that we then have that moment of connection. And so it's encouraging to me that perfection is not the answer, but admitting my imperfection sometimes can be. And that's what points him back to Christ. And that's what also helps me fix my attitude, right? Of when I'm yes. like, oh yeah, I'm a part of the problem here mm-hmm. too. And so recognizing that it's being imperfect, that I'm not the savior. But if I can point to the savior through my imperfection, that's what can help. Mm-hmm. And so that's encouraging to me that it's not on me, and it's actually better if I let that go.
Yeah, I think that is important too, because I've had a conversation with one of my older kids recently who was saying, you know, we were talking about some of the struggles and things that had happened, you know, in our house. I remember one of the kids saying, but you and Dad, because you know, we were talking about the struggles, and I was saying, Dad and I weren't perfect. Dad and I made a lot of mistakes uh-huh. too. And he said, but y'all never talk about those things. It's like, wow. I mean, and there's balance oh, there
right,
because,
right.
you know, you don't need to tell your kids everything you did wrong or how you right. survived all these terrible things. But at the same time, I think it is important to be honest and open about your failings, you know, at age-appropriate mm-hmm. ways and mm-hmm. at times when it's the thing to do. And that was really important to that child. And then so then mm-hmm. I did share some things with them. It's like, no, of course we're not perfect. These are some of the things that we struggled with, and
yeah.
this is how we dealt with it. And so I think that's important. And it's just like with us, if you're not, your best friend is probably not somebody that you think is perfect and has it all together, because that's intimidating and you're like, I can't be that. And so you're with other people that you recognize their brokenness, and we want to share in that and learn and walk and grow in that. And I think that's something to me that's encouraging about motherhood, is to be with other women, mm-hmm. to be around people as much
Absolutely.
As you can. And when you're at home with kids and you're tired and you're struggling, there are so many people around you that are doing the same thing, that are feeling isolated mm-hmm. and lonely. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to just call somebody up and say, hey, come over for lunch, even if you're just eating peanut butter sandwiches or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be fancy. And so I think that just inviting people in is a big thing, because we also need to be giving back to the people that are around us. Mm-hmm. And that in doing that, mm-hmm. and inviting people in, when you're sharing and talking, you're lifting the burden for both of you. And I think that's a good thing. Do you guys do very much of that, hanging out with other people?
I find it helpful to have both women that are older than you, that have kind of mm-hmm. been through things,
yes.
as well as people at your same stage, and even people younger, just so you have different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome support to have that, and just, you know, relying on each other.
Yeah,
certainly not staying isolated, because that's tough.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It just makes everything harder.
Easy. Yeah, it's easy when you're little. It's yeah. hard to get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why.
And your house is always a mess. Like,
oh yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
that
sure.
doesn't change.
Yeah,
but so is theirs.
Right,
that's right.
Well,
right.
You can do your laundry together. It's not.
Yeah. yeah. Exactly. I mean, sometimes we would have people over, and or I would have girlfriends over during the day, and we would all bring our kids, and they would be running around like crazy, and we would cook together. We would make one big meal, and we would all take it home. And so it was a way
fun.
For us to have fellowship and have
yeah.
fun together. And then everybody went home with dinner, and
that's fun.
So that was kind of fun thing that we used to do.
Yeah,
not too often, but every now and then we did do that.
Yeah. And also, I found it's hard when, you, especially if your kids are younger, but let people bless you. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's it's so hard to, because you're not, it's hard to ask for help, but when someone offers, just say yes and just let them take your kid or come
yeah.
over or whatever, and just not think about it too hard.
That like, is hard to do.
Not, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to
it's
let
hard
people
to
bless
allow.
You when you're a mom,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, just
yeah.
let them do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that too.
Absolutely.
What would you guys say is a way that your husband can encourage and support you in motherhood? How did your husband help you as you're going through that? I know what Trisha's thinking. I married Paul Barth, who is not in here. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Paul is Superman.
Paul is... he has his shortcomings, but he's pretty awesome. He was a lot of help. I think one thing that Paul has always been kind of a hands-on dad and always kind of helping and doing things. But I think part of the reason secretly is that I trained him to be that way. Because don't tell him I said that. You can edit that part out later. But here's how I did it. This is a good trick. is that you have to leave the house.
Manipulation 101.
Exactly. You have to leave the house. Your husband is maybe not spending as much time with the kids because he's not comfortable. But you know what? He's going to figure out how to do all that just like you did the first time. And so I was blessed to have Paul at home and to have other women in my life who were like, you got to get out of the house. You're going to go crazy. And so Paul was actually great at staying home and, you know, while I was going out and doing things and he took care of the kids. But this is the other thing is you can't call it babysitting. My mom would say to me, is Paul babysitting again? It's like, hell no, that's called parenting, Mom. Okay. I know, sorry.
Language.
You can edit that out too. Anyway, so Paul really, Trisha would say that's not fair because Paul is just kind of always active and whatever. But anyways.
No, that's not true. I think he's great, but I mean,
he's honest, not that great though.
I mean, he's not Bruce.
Exactly.
No, I think that it's great and it's different for every relationship. Hmm. And it depends on also the stage you're at. So like
Absolutely. When
we had little ones, Bruce was there to be physically helpful. We had a newborn baby. He would get up in the middle of the night and change a diaper and get him all ready and bring the baby to meet a nurse and then take the baby and have a nice little moment getting the baby back. I mean, physically there, right?
Absolutely.
And I think in the later years, what I've found is more relationally. I get very myopic, is that the right term? Very focused on what's right in front of me and what is today and what this child is doing right or wrong. And he helps me see the big picture. He helps me realize the priorities of, you know, it's kind of cute and sweet to say my daughter's going to the store wearing leggings and a swimsuit cover up. But you have similar things when they're teenagers.
Right.
It's not as sweet.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
But it's still something that you need to realize it's not a priority and it's not a mountain to die on. And I would die on all those mountains if I didn't have Bruce saying, okay, wait a second. I can see years down the road. I can understand where this will go. This is where we need to just let them be unique in themselves and focus on their spiritual life or their, you know, whatever direction instead of on this little thing that I get latched onto. Yeah. So I think that
it's good to have that, to have the opposite, a bigger perspective. Yeah.
And obviously it depends on where you are in the stage of life and also your personalities. That's how we work is that I am in the details and he can play chess and see 20 years in the future. I don't know. I can't see tomorrow.
Because you're busy with the details.
I think the best thing James done has been a good leader for our family because that really frees me up to be a mom and not have to take on the roles that I'm not, that God hasn't given me. Because that's also in the past, I tend to, it's easy for me to take on leadership of the family when you're doing logistical things, but that's not your job, right? And then resentment comes in. So when he's being an awesome leader, then I can just be a mom. And then the other thing I've seen is just that he's great at is, you know, the kids know that I'm his wife first and kind of establishing that pecking order, like God and then our relationship and our marriage and just me as his wife and then mom and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just been fantastic.
Yeah.
And we've done it wrong. We've done it wrong. And
we've all
so well.
Done it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. We
so,
definitely
but
have.
Yeah, seeing that now, it's just such a blessing and a relief as a mom to do that.
That's good.
I think kind of along those lines is I think, especially with as mom of littles, it's easy to feel kind of invisible because kids don't see you. They just see, you know, the hander out of snacks and the one who makes them go to bed and all of those things. And so especially on one of those frustrating days, you know, when it's just been one thing after another, And Rob's been really good about doing this, is coming home and saying, okay, I see it in your eyes. Go. Like, go That's get awesome. Coffee, go yeah. get a massage, go just go call a friend. I mean, whatever it is, I've got this, you just go. Or I'm going to go get dinner. I'm going to take the kids and we're going to go pick up a pizza and bring it back so you can just have a minute. I think it's encouraging, not just because you're physically exhausted, but you're seen in that moment of like, I see you. I see it was rough and the kids didn't care about you as a person today.
Exactly.
And so, but I do. And so that's really, I think kind of along what you're saying of like, okay, but you're my wife. And so it's, you don't, you're not just mom. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if they're just treating you as mom, we're going to remove that for a second so you can have that moment of feeling like yourself again, which I think has been really encouraging and restorative as mom.
Yeah, that's great. That is really a huge blessing for you that your husband does that for you. And what would you say, how is something, or what is something you do to kind of prioritize your marriage in the midst of all the craziness?
We've done re-engage a lot. No, it just makes you spend some time together. But even the little things, like he greets me first when he gets home, because he's putting our marriage before the kiddos. Just little things like that you can do on that. But certainly just spending time together and working on your marriage and each other is going to be beneficial for your parenting. I don't see how you can be a good parent if your marriage isn't in a great place.
Yeah.
Like it's just going to spill over.
The struggle. Yeah.
Maybe by the world standards or morally you're doing okay, but from a biblical perspective, it's not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, dates aren't always possible. And so I don't think it's that's the goal, but time is necessary. Mm-hmm. But on another side, there are going to be conflicts in your marriage and there are going to be conflicts with the children, and they shouldn't affect each other. I think that helps.
So what do you mean
you're
by
moping.
That?
Well, okay. So you're making time to actually work on a marriage separately. So I feel like a lot of times, like, I had a bad day with the kids and that can affect how I treat Bruce.
Okay.
Or Bruce and I are annoyed at each other for something. I'm sure it was my fault, but and so I need to be careful that it then doesn't, I mean, this is not talking about the marriage, but on both sides, I need to make sure that we kind of keep those separate. I work on Bruce with our marriage. And the fact that we don't maybe agree on how we're taking care of something going on with Marguerite or Kathleen or whoever, that's something we need to work on, but it has nothing to do with our love for each other. That's just something we have to work on. Mm-hmm. Keep it separate.
Yeah.
Also, marriage is going to outlast the kids being in the house.
Exactly.
So you need to plan that. Like, plan on being around together when they're gone.
Yeah. And I'm getting to the place now where I can see that. And we're pretty excited about it. We're kind of, when your first kid is leaving, I cried like so much when Jackson was leaving. I would cry because, it's the last Thursday in October that we're going to have dinner together. And I would sob at the table. But now we're like, we got about 18 months to go.
But that
is an important thing to remember is that, these kids are going to be in your home for 20 years, hopefully not too much longer than that. And then, your husband hopefully is going to be there a lot longer. It's important to keep working on that, to make time for that. And I think you make a good point of making sure that what's happening, the turmoil with the kids, is not brought into the marriage. That doesn't mean that Paul is whatever.
One thing that stays out to me is I think that in our culture the concept is that the kids should be the center of everything.
Yes, it's so terrible for the kids.
And not exactly. Not only is that bad for your marriage, it's bad for the kids.
I know.
They should not be thinking that they're the god of the family.
Exactly.
And so one thing that has just stood out to me is that it's not just okay, but it's healthy to say, you know what? No, you're going to bed because mom and dad want some time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I don't care. You could go read in your bed, but you have to be out of the room because our marriage is important, like you said, of just making those, making that abundantly clear to the kids is healthy for them as well, not just for you. And so it's not a common perception, I think, but it's really helpful.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I won't say that. We'll save that one for another time.
That would be an encouraging.
Yeah, maybe so. Okay, let's see. How have other mothers, well, we talked a little bit about how other mothers can be a blessing, but can you, let's talk for a minute about how sometimes other mothers can be a burden to you in your mothering. Can you think of situations like that where, while y'all are thinking, I'm going to tell a story. I have a sister who's 10 years older than me and I love her so much. She's awesome. And she had her kids about 10 years before I did. So when I was starting to have kids and I was at home all the time with littles, you know, her kids were at school and she was great, whatever. So I would call her up and I'd be like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what Jackson did. Jackson just did this, he did that. And then Sam was like this. And then I would just go on telling, and she is hoo-hawing, laughing her head off because of all these kind of crazy things that are happening with the kids. And then we would hang up and she went off with her day while her kids were gone by then. But then I was sitting there looking at these little people that I had just raked over the coals for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. And even though they were funny stories and it wasn't super terrible, but then I was left with this, you know, I had spent 20 minutes laughing and focusing on the negative. And then I was like, oh God, you people are bad. And so there's a point where you want to share and be open. But it, for me, that was a big issue that I had to stop just focusing on those, even though it was hilarious, I had to stop focusing on that and spend time remembering the good things, just like we do in all of our relationships. And anyway, that's something. Yeah. So what about for y'all? That wasn't a bad mom. That was me making my own bad decisions.
Bad mom.
Yeah. Were there people that have been like that for y'all that have been a burden, or you can say a blessing?
I can't think of a specific situation to give as an example, but I think when other moms freak out about something or panic, even if it's a real thing, that's a real problem. I think that when other moms react in fear, it's just not helpful. Like fear is the opposite of faith, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you have that, it feeds itself, you kind of get on there and start thinking, well, maybe I should be.
Should I be worried about that too?
Man, that's true. Or, you know, and so I'm trying to think of a specific situation, but yeah.
I think it's hard, especially when you have teenagers, is that not everyone has the same, I guess, I don't know, rules or moral compass, whatever you call it. And so it is a burden when literally no one else follows the teen traffic laws. Like nobody.
They
like,
do. I think we're the only family on the planet. We do too.
You mean as far as driving?
They can't drive after midnight. You can only have one person in the car. And like, I swear these moms, it's just, no one does that. And we're the only bad parents that make our kids like follow these rules. Anyway, that's just like
because
an example.
Because you love them.
That's what you're supposed to say.
Because the other moms don't love them as much.
Yeah, I'm sorry your friends. Yes.
But, and I struggle with it too, because like your kid wants to be at their house because they don't have rules. They get to have fun all the time. And then, so you kind of miss them, and because you have to let them go sometimes, but anyway, so I guess that's.
No, that's true.
It is. Yeah. Were you going to say something?
No, that's hard. I don't have to deal with that yet.
Not yet.
It is much easier to control them when they're little, but that's,
It is so much easier when they're little because you can control all of the friendships. You can do everything. You can control all of those outside influences. And then as they get older, it is harder, and it's less physically exhausting, but it's much more emotionally taxing and exhausting because you're all these sort of mental kind of thoughtful things that are a struggle for your kids. You're always having to work through and talk through. And those things can also be, a burden and exhausting. And so I think, which gets back to the point of it's important to stay connected to moms who are like-minded, moms who are walking with the Lord, and to, you know, for me to make sure that I am spending time in Bible study and in the Word, and not, because when your kids are freaking out and your kids are going crazy and then I'm, you know, so disrupted by that, those are two different problems. And that's my spiritual problem. Mm-hmm. And that's what I get back to. I just have to make sure that somehow I stay connected. Even if I don't do it well, I certainly still mess up and I make decisions out of fear. And but it's important to have that just to kind of reset, and always going back to the truth that God loves my kid more than I do. Mm-hmm. He knows what's best for my kid. Even when I think I know what should be happening, it's important to remember that, that he really does. He does love them more than I do. and he's smarter than me. And I like Trisha's point too of saying that you can't have fear and trust at the same time. There's no way I can be feeling anxious and afraid mm-hmm. and still trusting God. Mm-hmm. That means that there's something in me that I haven't worked through.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's see. Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit too, but tell me some other ways that you work through some of your insecurities as a mom. We talked about obviously the importance of going back to scripture, but what are some other things that that you've done to work through your own insecurities?
I was saying one thing I've done is at different times being in a group of women where you can really talk about this other lady invented it. You kind of take a Bible verse and you kind of see what your lies are about God and the situation, and you kind of just work through that using scripture and then you can pray about it. And that's been a helpful exercise for me when I kind of get insecure, like what lie am I believing about God and how is that coming out in this mom situation?
Mm-hmm.
So you can just, go back to the word. That's been helpful.
Is it easy for y'all to admit to someone that's close to you the things that you're struggling with as a parent, as a mom, as a wife?
It probably depends on what it is. So the thing that came to my mind there with that is, so when our son was born, I had postpartum anxiety, and I didn't know that I had postpartum anxiety. I thought, This is what being a mom is, and it's horrible. And so it was really, really hard. And honestly, I didn't realize I had it until I had my daughter and didn't have it. And then I was like, oh, like this, it didn't have to be like this, but I didn't know. But one thing that I realized through going through that is that a lot of the anxiety for me was around control, making sure everything was okay, making sure this baby was okay. And what I found the comfort in is the recognition that I can't, which sounds horrible. Actually Carolyn Klee told me once sometime that what it comes down to is, if the worst happens, God is still good.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that the solution was not deal with things. I should have gone to a doctor. I should have been on meds, all of that. Okay. So I'm not downplaying any of that, but the solution was, like you said, of saying, okay, but who is God in this? Mm-hmm. And can I trust him even mm-hmm. if the worst was to happen?
Yes.
And when it's in that perspective, I think it's easier to talk about it, of saying, I'm freaking out, but I know I'm not supposed to be freaking out because it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to have those conversations when we frame it in light of, okay, but who is God? And do I have a right perspective of him? Or am I dealing with this anxiety or these inadequacies because I'm focused on myself?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been something that really stood out. It's not easy. I mean, that resulted in many nights of crying. Like, sure. I don't know, God, if I am okay.
Mm-hmm.
If that I would believe you're good if the worst happened. But ultimately, that's what it comes back to.
Absolutely.
Which I think is great for the control people who mm-hmm. want to be right. Like,
right.
I want to be right.
Yeah.
And I focus on being right. Bruce lovingly calls it right nanigans. I hate that word. if we make that a kind of our focus and our God of us being right, then obviously it's a lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trusting him. And when it all comes around to, if we really believe that God is sovereign, he gave us these children
mm-hmm.
because we're supposed to be the parents, then he'll fix our errors. Like, God works with us despite us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember too, because just we do have to remember that God gave me these particular kids, and I have to do the best that I can, you know, and make the decisions that I think are best and good for them. And that may not be the same decision that you would make if you had this kid in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes that's hard too, because you're trying to negotiate and figure out what everyone else is doing and how you should handle it. But it's important to remember that, that God gave you or gave me these kids, and knowing my weaknesses and my issues that I had. And so in the midst of that, that God is working not only to change me and to make me more like Jesus, but he's also using those things to teach my kid how to deal with life and to grow up in a way that, you know, where they can learn and grow through some of the struggles that they're going to find in other mm-hmm. places too. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have mentors? Like, did you have an older woman that you maybe not met with regularly, but someone in your life that was ahead of you? Do you have that now? So answer both of those. Have you had that? And do you have it now?
I have had that. And I guess just having community, it doesn't have to be an older person, or just having mm-hmm. community and being authentic with them, I think it's been the most helpful thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. I'm really...
I'm your older woman.
You're my older woman. Thank you, older
woman. Well, actually, Aspen is my older woman right now. Yeah. There you go. That mom-to-mom thing that the church does.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, whether you do mom-to-mom or it's just natural, I'm really blessed to have a large community in the church and mm-hmm. through family and all that, to have people of all sorts of ages. I have mm-hmm. an 80-something-year-old that I go and have
yes.
lunch with. And last week, sitting with Martha Johnston, we were able to talk about, your child's faith has to be theirs. So as I'm concerned about two children in particular, are they going to truly accept God? Is it going to be their own? She was able to point out, it has to be their own. You cannot.
Can't help them get there.
You cannot help them make their faith their own. It's between them and God is able. And so, you know, obviously Martha can't help me with doing dishes or doing whatever, but she has this history of children and grandchildren that she can bring me back to. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's that or Carolyn Klee mm-hmm. saying, oh yeah, that's a diaper rash, but you really need this ointment, or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know that I have one specifically in a mentor kind of relationship, but like you said, I think community is one of the most right. important things. Right. And like you said, it's older women, it's younger women. And, it's one of the things that I've loved most about working in Grace is that my job is to work with women. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much. Like I said, that thing about what Carolyn said, that she said that about anxiety and giving it over to God in the midst of prayer time, because I was praying about the struggle that I was going through with my child. And we were co-leaders in Bible study together. And so that came out of that in a very Naturally. Organic kind of way. Mm-hmm. And, that's been one of the things that's changed my life is having those kinds of relationships. And so that can look like a small group. It can look like a Bible study. I mean, not a plug for women's Bible study, but if you're not involved, you should come. But that's where those kinds of relationships often happen. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not plugged into something like that, I think it's essential. Because if you don't have truth spoken into your life by other women who know the truth, you're just going to be listening to lies. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have that.
And you don't have to be born in it, and you don't have to automatically have it.
Right.
Like, it's a choice and it's work. I think mm-hmm. that's one thing is I have one friend who said, well, I just don't really have anyone. Well, get working.
Yeah.
Right? It really is kind of a decision. People are out there and it's awkward and it's, you have to force yourself sometimes and you just... make the phone call.
Yeah, it could just be as easy as saying, hey, can you come over? Would you like to come over for a cup of
yeah,
coffee or
right,
whatever?
Right.
And just inviting someone over yeah. and talking. Because most women that are mature and walking with the Lord, they want to do that. They're mm-hmm. waiting to be able to pour into someone else's mm-hmm. life or spend time or whatever. So there are definitely women out there yeah. that are willing to do that. And I think oftentimes, you know, the onus is on the younger person, because mm-hmm. I can't walk up to somebody and say, hey, let me tell you everything I've learned.
That's right.
You know, right. Let me mentor well. You. Can you come on over and let me show you how it's done? And so it's important that if, you know, when you're recognize that you're lacking that just reach out and you mm-hmm. don't have to make a big commitment. Just,
no.
Hey, you want to meet for lunch. And if you like them and there's chemistry or it's okay, then you can right. keep going. And if not, it's, you know, that's okay too. Yeah. So, and if you like, even if you're doing the mentor, the mom to mom thing, there's so much that you can learn and that the Lord can teach you, even if it's someone who is maybe not the person you would pick
absolutely
to hang yeah. out with. And there's, you know, there's a lot of value in that, I think, mm-hmm. in just being spending time with someone that you wouldn't necessarily have chosen for yourself. And so we're encouraging y'all to do that.
And it doesn't look a certain way. I mean, I would say that I've learned from sweet Rachel Sylvester. I mean,
yes.
I wish I want to be her when I grow up, right? Mm-hmm. And so
yeah, it's amazing. We all do.
If only my children were as sweet as Noah. Holy cow. No, they're wonderful. I love my children. But Noah, holy cow.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
All right. Well, do y'all have any? I know it's rocky.
Okay.
Any,
probably wrap
up. Yeah. Any last things y'all want to say about being a mom, being a wife?
There's just one other thing I was thinking about. Being a mom has, I don't know if you're familiar with Brené Brown and her work on vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It stands out to me a lot in being a parent, because the whole idea of being vulnerable is really putting yourself out there for something that matters, right? And taking the risk. And I feel like being a mom is living in a constant state of vulnerability, because your heart is outside your body. Mm-hmm. It's in these little people or big people that you can't control their choices. You can't protect them. You can't make everything okay. But yet you feel obligated that you should do everything you can to make it okay, or to help them, or, you mm-hmm. know, whether that's stepping back or stepping in. But the bravery is in continuing to do it. And I think the bravery is also in reaching out to other people to help you continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And in turning to God and saying, God, you've given me this blessing and this burden. And I'm going to walk through it day to day, trusting you. And I think that obviously I'm only a few years into it, but being a mom has been true of that more than anything else I've ever done in life. A job, I mean, at the end of the day, you could quit your job and move on and it would be fine. But your family is your family, mm-hmm. and it's there, and it doesn't end. And so I think that there's just, it's a struggle, but there's a lot of beauty in recognizing that that's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. That's part of what it means to walk through this. And that's part of what I think helps us better understand God's love for us. As we walk through children with children who make poor choices and all of those things. And so that's just been something that stood out to me of to embrace the vulnerability mm-hmm. of recognizing I can't make it okay. And that comes back to the control thing that I think we started with. So,
yeah. And I think also just being vulnerable, but you can ask your kid, like when I heard about this, I was like, oh, I think it's time to check in with my kids and just ask them, like, well, you know, what's something I could do better as a mom? What's something I'm not getting at?
Yeah.
And just being vulnerable with them, because you don't have it all together. And most of them answered the same thing as I did, like, the last time I asked them, which was patience. But I'm working on it.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's very brave of you to ask.
It really is. Yeah. But I love that you do that.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. I sat in the car for 30 minutes waiting for somebody this week. And I wasn't impatient.
Being patient. Because
they brought that to my attention.
Yeah.
I love that.
30 minutes. Wow.
Yeah. They actually thanked me at the end
That's
of it
good.
When I didn't fuss at them. Like, nice. I have a like. Because
nice.
It's not all about me, right? It's not all about me all
right.
the time. As
right.
much as I would like that. It's
yes.
about
yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess the final thing I would say too is that whatever you're in the midst of struggling with, to know that someone else is mm-hmm. struggling with it too. And
mm-hmm.
it's so easy to feel isolated and alone. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a friend recently and I was talking about the things that were, and I think I said something like, if people knew the things that we actually struggled with inside our house, people would be so shocked. And she looked at me and she said, no, they wouldn't, because
yeah.
they're struggling with
yeah.
the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh,
yeah,
it's true.
They would say you too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when I was looking at my own issues, it just was that kind of feeling of being isolated. But really, I mean, she helped me to realize that,
yeah,
yeah, we're all struggling with the same things. And so it's important to just recognize that. And like you said, be vulnerable and reach out, because there's community and there's
mm-hmm.
hope and there's joy to be found in the midst of all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess that's
awesome.
It.
Is that what you wanted?